This one is insane. This thing called the duck walk.
The duck walk.
All right, I'm about to walk as a duck. All right, I'm back. Okay, first of all.
How'd that feel?
If it walks like a duck and if it talks like a duck.
Does it fly like Superman?
This is How To, and I'm Charles Duhigg. Each week on this show, we tackle life's big problems, one question at a time, like how to withstand pain or how to uproot your life. Then we do some research and we track down an expert to get their advice and we see if it helps. This week, we're talking with an up-and-coming Hollywood actor.
If you wouldn't mind telling me your name and how you would introduce yourself at a cocktail party.
Sure. Well, my name is Jeff Leach, and I would introduce myself at a cocktail party by jumping on the nearest table, taking off my clothes, and pouring liquor directly down everyone's throat so I can live vicariously through their alcoholism. I want to play superheroes and supervillains in big movies, and you can't do that if you drink. You'll always have a little bit of puppy fat hanging on the sides, and as we all know, superheroes, you know, they're too busy saving the world to get drunk.
Jeff's serious about wanting to play a superhero, and it's a realistic possibility for him. He's already gotten a few minor TV and movie roles, and he's got the charisma and the swagger to make it as a superhero, as long as he can get buff enough to look the part.
Certainly, I've never been out of shape, but I also have never been absolutely stacked, and that's currently the path that I'm trying to get on.
Being the lead in a big superhero movie, that's something he's always wanted since he was a kid reading comic books in the UK.
I liked anti-heroes more. So I like someone like Loki or Lobos, you know, or Deadpool.
Like, what appeals to you about Deadpool?
I mean, Ryan Reynolds, what a legend. I just want to have dinner with Ryan Reynolds. That's all it is.
He's super charismatic and also super buff, right? Like as Ryan Reynolds plays him, like that guy is cut.
Yeah.
And have you auditioned for superhero roles or villain roles? Like, have things come up that you thought you had a shot at?
Actually, yeah, I've had a couple recently. Last year I auditioned for CW for Supergirl. And then the most recent thing was I actually went up for the role of Geralt in the Witcher series, and Henry Cavill got that role. So I got to be buffer than Superman if I want to have a chance next time round, which is where you guys come in, right?
Right. And so coming up, we'll hit the gym and talk with a physical trainer who is the go-to guy for helping actors like Ryan Reynolds get into superhero shape. Because the thing is, it's not just about big muscles. It's about feeling energized and healthy. It's the stuff that all of us want to feel every day. In other words, superheroes, they're just like us. They just have a lot more impressive bulges.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind the decisions we make every day and how to make better ones. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman. Join me as I share true stories from Nobel laureates, athletes, authors, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better decisions in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Not long ago, I dropped by this gym in the Soho neighborhood of New York, where it's kind of almost hidden among all these like fancy fashion stores. And you go up these stairs into this huge room that's just packed, totally filled with weights and these complicated exercise machines.
Wow, that is a lot of kettlebells.
I was there to talk with the owner, Don Saladino.
I mean, some people call me celebrity trainer, which I absolutely hate, because I think a lot of guys in my shoes that will train someone like Ryan, they're just trainers. And
when you say Ryan, you mean Ryan Reynolds, yeah, right? Like he is an impressive physical specimen, Ryan Reynolds.
He's just an impressive person. I mean, yeah, he looks great. And I think the man upstairs definitely looked at him and said, all right, buddy, we're gonna take care of you. I think a lot of people would say that from his personality to his looks.
Don's been helping Ryan Reynolds get buff ever since he signed on to play Deadpool.
Superhero landing. Yeah, that's really hard on your knees.
He's also worked with Jake Gyllenhaal and Liev Schreiber and Hugh Jackman for the Wolverine movies, which if you have seen those movies, you understand. Don knows what he's doing. Don himself, he kind of looks a little bit like a superhero.
For me, it probably started when I was in second grade. I think, you know, I had a lot of insecurities as a young kid. I had a hearing problem. I had a pretty serious stuttering issue going on then. And, you know, it was, I think with training and nutrition, it became part of my survival in life. I think it's the one area in my life that I can control the outcome of.
So tell me, so how did you get into working with sort of celebrities to get them ready for
it? Was a total accident. I met Hugh Jackman through my buddy Rico Wesley, who was his trainer at the time. And Rico ended up having a family and he ended up moving. And he was like, would you take Hugh? And so I worked with Hugh for about a year. But he was really one of the guys to help put me on the map. I mean, he really did a lot for me.
Are those people, are they just more self-disciplined than I am?
No, or, not or do necessarily. They know something no. They, you know, listen, they all, everyone fights the same fight. I got to be honest, a lot of people that I've worked with in the past, they struggle. They struggle with it. You know, they have temptations with food or, you know, they might be tired. And I think it's just finding that switch. It's giving them the ability to feel successful every day.
The problem for most people, though, is that what they know about fitness comes from places like Instagram, where everyone is toned and beautiful, and where most of the advice, Don says, is terrible. What you really need is a sustainable workout plan, something you're not going to start dreading after the first week, which means you've got to make sure you're not running at 100% all the time.
Are you better off training at a level 10, 2 out of 7 days a week, and then falling off the wagon because you're just exhausted and you're beat up? Or are you better off going in at 80% and being consistent all year long? You're better off going at 80%. Science has also shown you may burn more fat. You may have better strength increase. All right, so I want you to feel like you're almost carrying two suitcases.
Carry
so
your kettlebells.
Walking with two kettlebells by your side. So what's happening right now is that you're strengthening the forearms, the shoulders.
So after working out with Don in his gym, I went back to Jeff, our aspiring superhero, and I told him Don's first rule, which was kind of surprising. So the first rule of how to look like a superhero is getting a good night's sleep. So we don't usually ask like Superman or Wolverine, like, how many hours did you sleep last night? But let me ask you, how many hours did you sleep last night?
Not enough. I went to bed last night about 3:45 in the morning. I think I got about 4 hours sleep.
And what was going on last night? Like, why did you go to bed so late?
Oh, I had a show. So I'm producing a comedy show. And then my girlfriend's, her friend lives in North Hollywood. So I offered to drive her home to make sure she gets home safe.
Very nice.
Because I was being a superhero, dude. That's
you
why.
Were. You were acting like a superhero.
Otherwise known as a Lyft driver, I think is the...
But here's the interesting thing is that Superman, he apparently goes to bed on time. So Don says, if you want to be in great shape, if you want to look like a superhero, you need to sleep 7 to 9 hours per night.
Because if you're not in that range for a long period of time, what's going to happen is hormone levels are going to just start plummeting. So T levels, cortisol levels, all these, the stress hormone in the body, everything is going to start getting out of whack to, you know, burn fat, energy levels, repair, recovery, all
okay,
that stuff.
Okay, so 7 to 9.
So 7 to 9 hours a night. When you wake up and you feel great, you want to do more.
So do you think you could be in bed, like in bed, lights out, by like 10:45 or 11?
I mean, that depends if you're going to tuck me in and read me a story or not. I can try that. Yeah, absolutely. So like 10:30? I think the concept of especially once you have a partner as well, the idea of going to bed prior to about midnight as an adult is a difficult one.
Yeah.
You know, because you might want to stay out for an extra hour, you know, doing some superhero moves in the bedroom. I tried to keep it as PG as possible.
I'm impressed that it's a whole hour. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing from 11:30 to 1 in the morning? Are you like working on stuff or are you watching TV?
Well, if I'm not performing at a comedy club. See, when I'm in New York, I wouldn't finish shows normally until at least 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I have at least an hour to 2 hours of adrenaline pumping through my body.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I also get hungry late at night. That's another, if I were cast as a superhero tomorrow, I would absolutely clear every other thing that I'm doing creatively out of my calendar. It would be gone.
And you would start sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night?
I would sleep like a baby every single night. Do you see what I mean? It's that catch 22. Yeah. It's trying to get that body working around the lifestyle of a very busy creative performer.
Jeff has a pretty busy lifestyle, but then again, who doesn't? It's easy to understand why all of us get late night cravings and don't have time for the gym. But that doesn't mean we can't still get the superhero body, or at least superhero energy. And after this quick break, we'll tell you how.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going. Today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves. Or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions, and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Okay, so far we've heard about the importance of a good night's sleep. The next rule from Don Saladino about how to look like a superhero is to pay more attention to what you eat.
What'd you have for dinner last night? Like what is your...
Last night I had about 6 ounces of turkey meat. I had 8 ounces of sweet potato and I had 2 cups of spinach.
And those are pretty, you know exactly how much you had. Those are pretty, like, are you actually measuring those out?
Yeah, but I do that because I enjoy it. People don't need to do that. I would just say, like, your protein source should be roughly the size of your palm. Your carb source could be, like, your fist. And your fat source could be, like, almost like your thumb.
Okay.
Oils or nuts, seeds, whatever it is. Weight loss is really simple. It's just about maintaining blood sugar levels.
How do you mean?
The reason why people crave junk is because they're undernourishing themselves throughout the day. If I had you eat more calories and I had you eat a balanced diet, you would go into the evening not craving the bread basket or the cookies, or you wouldn't be overeating pasta. Your blood sugar level would be maintained.
Don says to follow the palm, fist, thumb rule for portion control. But just as important is to eat at consistent times throughout the day.
Start with 3 square meals a day.
Okay.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Really difficult concept. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
And are you ratcheting back the calories at that point?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I mean, because I've turned my body into a fat burning furnace. And if you want a fire to burn hotter, you put wood on the fire.
Okay.
My idea is to get your metabolism burning faster and get your energy up so you're more active, so you burn more calories.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So we've got the food.
Well, how does he feel about keto though? How does he feel about high protein, high fats, you know, decent fats, not saturated fats, and barely any carbs?
He says it does not matter. Like, what matters a lot more is eating healthily every single day. Because the truth of the matter is, you've done keto, I've done keto, everyone's done this. We know that, like, you can even do it sometimes for, like,
6 weeks, 8 weeks. And it's a nightmare to try and keep on top of. So let me ask you, what did you, take me through what you ate yesterday, everything you ate.
Oh God, I feel almost embarrassed about to start talking. Okay, so I didn't eat anything for a few hours. And then about 11 o'clock, I went, oh God, I haven't eaten yet. I really need to have something because I was rushing around. I had a protein. I have these like protein muffins that I get from Costco, and they're egg white, turkey sausage, a slice of cheese in there, and then like a muffin bun. But it's like high protein, very low carbs. So I had one of those.
Okay.
Then I went to a little restaurant about 4 o'clock, and I had a heirloom tomato and melon salad with some beets and a little bit of ricotta cheese in there, but it was like a, quite a light salad. And then to accompany that, I had a chicken sandwich, but it was like, I mean, it was definitely It was deep fried. You're like, it's okay.
It was deep fried. Okay.
It's all right. You fat bitch. It's fine. And it had a little coleslaw in there, and it was in a brioche bun. And then the show happens, and I get out of the show, I'm packed up, and about 11 p.m., we went out with a group of us, sat down at a table, and we ordered lots of different bits. Some more chicken, a handful of fries, a couple of bacon-wrapped dates. And then I had, you know, some gelato and maybe two cookies. I ate a lot of shit last night, dude. Why do you hate me? Why do you have to make me feel bad about myself? But I try and, for the most part, eat reasonably healthy. It's just the patterns of how I eat are very unhealthy, I imagine. Late nights.
No, totally. Yeah. And I do the same thing. I suddenly notice that wait, I am really hungry. What studies show is that if you spend literally 3 minutes and you write down what you are going to eat for all three meals and when you are going to eat them tomorrow, it will have a huge impact.
Okay. I like that.
The tiniest bit of planning actually ends up being the difference between looking great and looking like a superhero.
Okay.
So once you've got the sleeping and the eating down, then we can finally put on our spandex, cue the superhero soundtrack, and start working out. And Don says the goal here is not pumping iron like crazy. Rather, it's resistance training. You want to create this tension inside your muscles.
And we can create tension through a barbell, a dumbbell, a cable, a kettlebell, a sandbag. There's just so many ways to create resistance.
When you say creating tension, do you mean, am I trying to lengthen my muscles? Am I trying to build my muscles?
A bodybuilder, when you're lifting a weight, you're tearing microscopic fibers in that muscle. And you might feel pumped from lifting, but that's a buildup of lactic acid and blood in the muscle. So you have that sensation of having that pump. But when you're training, you're actually tearing the muscle down. And the only way that we are able to repair that muscle is through rest and recovery and through nutrition.
But there's a lot of guys in Hollywood who, they take it seriously. I know a lot of guys who take physical fitness really seriously. What's the secret? Like,
How do you know they're taking it seriously? Why? Why do you say that?
They spend a lot of time in the gym.
But that doesn't mean they're taking it seriously. I know guys that go around and they kill themselves 3 to 5 hours a day in the gym and they look terrible.
But differently, you don't have to exercise all the time to look great. And there's no secret workout that only Hollywood actors know. Anyone, Don says, anyone can look like a superhero if you follow the things we've talked about.
A difficult time stabilizing, right? Come on over here. Let me show you another example. Now, that movement trained the chest, the shoulders, the triceps.
Don showed me a few exercises he had used to help Ryan Reynolds, and then I showed those videos to Jeff. This one is insane. This thing called the duck walk.
The duck walk.
So watch what this guy is doing. The first exercise is the duck walk, where you basically squat and bend your knees so your butt is as close to the ground as possible, and then you just walk around.
All right, I'm about to walk as a duck.
And it sounds easy, but it hurts like crazy.
I feel very painful on the thighs.
Next, we did an exercise called the one-arm suitcase, which is basically something all of us used to do in airports all the time until some genius put wheels on our luggage. In this case, what you do is you just grab a kettlebell in one arm and then you walk around with good posture.
The only thing I have here is two 25-pound dumbbells.
Just to prove they're here. I'm walking.
And because Jeff wants to work on his arm muscles, we also did this thing called the Zottman curl, which is like a normal bicep curl, but you reverse your grip so that you're on the overhand for the decline.
I'm doing it. I mean, it's definitely tough. It's
Is it burning? Are you feeling
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's burning, but it's good. Oh, there you go. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I guess you just want me to do 10 reps, right?
This isn't the full workout, of course. There's a lot of other exercises Jeff can do. But the beauty of Don's approach is that you can basically do anything you want, as long as you're working out different parts of your body and you're not injuring yourself. And consistency is much more important than intensity. If you're not exhausted after every workout, that's okay. That's actually better, particularly if you're doing that workout every day. And you can totally go get a gym membership if you want and a personal trainer if that helps encourage you. But you also might only need YouTube and a couple of weights at home.
You're right. The days where I'm looking at it going, I'm not going to get to the gym today. However, what I can do is pick up those two dumbbells and do some suitcase walks and then a few duck walks.
Okay, so let me ask you two more questions. Okay, you're getting ready to be a superhero.
Can I sit down now?
Yeah, you can sit down. Absolutely, you can sit down.
I was like, is there more? Do I need to do more of these things?
What's your kryptonite?
Just feeling, you know, like a lot of mine is mental. They're mental barriers. Yeah, that might work, but what about this? So how am I going to do that if I have to go to a meeting directly afterwards? I'm going to get a bit sweaty in those 20 minutes. That doesn't work for me. It's about, you know, then I have to take a shower and I have to do that. And really, 20 minutes suddenly becomes 40 minutes because I have to...
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that doubt, because that's the last and in some ways the most important part
right.
of actually becoming a superhero. What is holding you back? What's the difference between you and Ryan Reynolds?
His parents loved him.
You know, I know some Hollywood actors. That is not necessarily true.
That's true. Yeah,
so let's talk about this last one, which is mindset.
I know that the person I was 2 years ago, I was a man in New York City in his apartment planning out how to kill himself, you know, and didn't do it because I got too drunk and I passed out before I could do it. Now I'm a man 2 years on who doesn't drink any alcohol at all, who's dealt with a huge amount of that internal negative dialogue, who has found exercise, sunshine, better way of living, better way of treating my body to, you know, better relationships, understanding what people to let be around you, what things to get annoyed about, what things to let go. So for me, what could affect it is an ongoing constant feeling of self-loathing and worthlessness. But the way to undo that is to keep up routines that instill within me the concept that I'm not only worthy, but I should celebrate these successes, these differences, these changes, and just see how far I've come and progressed.
You totally deserve that, Jeff. Like the thing that you have done, it is not a small thing. Like to go from being in a room and so depressed that you're thinking about killing yourself to this life that you have where you're thinking about how do I get that role that I want? How do I build not just the body, but the life and the mind?
I like how you put on a supportive voice now as well. I believe it when you whisper it in that sexy husky tones.
But it's also that you deserve to remind yourself of that. Like you need a plan to remind yourself of how far you've come because you're going to have bad days.
You want to know what's interesting?
Days. Yeah.
As you were saying all those things, and don't get me wrong, look, I did the thing that I normally do, which is when someone's saying things that are nice or positive or supportive about me, I felt very uncomfortable with what you were saying. And that's the issue that I still have. And that's a mental issue. And it's definitely something that I'm bit by bit overcoming. But I'm like, why is he saying this to me? I don't feel worthy of this. It feels uncomfortable to hear someone say nice shit.
My guess is from talking to you, you are a dedicated guy. You are a guy who can push yourself. You are a guy who can overcome rejection. You are a guy who can change your life. And my guess is that you are kind of a stoic, right? You're successful because you deny yourself pleasures. And so as a result, you and I and most people who are listening to this, we see rewards as a weakness.
Yeah.
But if you want to make those changes easier, if you want to make them permanent, your brain is designed that if it does not get that reward, it will not continue that behavior. And if it does get the reward, if you allow yourself to recognize and enjoy the reward, then the habit gets stronger and stronger and stronger. The next 2 months will be easier.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's say that you go a full week where every single day you have worked out. You've taken, let's say you've gone 6 days. You take 7 days off.
No. Let's go 7 days. Let's do it.
You want to, okay. Don would say you need a little bit of rest, but that's okay. That's okay.
Don's not my real dad.
let's say you have a full week
What are you going to do on the evening of day 7 to reward yourself?
Play some video games. Take a little time off. Play some video games with my buddies.
Okay.
Have a few hours of doing that.
Well, so can I tell you what the most powerful reward is? And we know this from study after study.
Tell me.
Spending time with other people. When you say to yourself, this is a reward for having worked out every single day this week, for having like kept on this meal plan.
Right, okay, yes.
I promise you, you are not wasting time. You are actually training yourself to look like a superhero.
Yeah.
This is Don's biggest lesson. You need a plan that lets you feel successful. Yeah, you need to sleep and you need to eat right and you need some simple daily exercises. But they can't be something that you're going to get sick of in 2 weeks or that are totally impractical. Instead, you need a plan that's clear and sustainable, that makes you feel like you're making progress every day. And that's how you start to feel great. So that even if you can't leap tall buildings in a single bound, or even if you don't care all that much about how you look in a skin-tight unitard, you have a plan that feels good, that works for you.
The biggest problem right now is if I hand you a 5-day-a-week program done by Ryan Reynolds, no offense, you're not going to do it. I don't want to get someone in the best shape of their life and they're miserable. Don't worry about what Ryan does. Let's focus on what we can find to allow you to be successful.
So I asked Jeff, what could he do to make sure he's more successful? What's his plan to find more time to eat right and to sleep more and to regularly work out?
Decrease my amount of screen time.
Okay.
And by that, I mean time spent on my cell phone, for instance.
Yeah.
But if I replaced that, for instance, said for the first hour of waking up every day, I don't look at my phone. I know, I'll just pick up those dumbbells and do some duck walks or some suitcase carries. That's something
that seems pretty realistic.
That's realistic and that's achievable and that's something I could do. Yeah, absolutely.
How long are you going to be doing this plan for?
I believe that if I did the things that you're saying and if I were able to build that routine, get that consistency into my working out, my diet, and my sleeping patterns. If I spent the 4 months from now until the end of the year preparing for pilot season in January next year, which is when it kicks off and they start casting all the new shows, the difference I would see in 4 months of consistency would be ridiculous.
You'd be ripped.
I would be.
You'd look like a superhero. Okay, so I got one more question for you. Every superhero needs a catchphrase.
Right.
What is your catchphrase going to be?
Someone's going to have to call their mother this evening. How about that? Is that just like, again, I just want to be like an old dude with a beard. You know, he'll beat the crap out of the villain and then just be, someone better call mommy. Am I right? It's a bit like, it's cheesy, but it's like, you know, that's who he is. He's like, he's called Captain Dad Jokes. And that's, he's got, and actually, technically, he should have a paunch because he's, you know, got a dad bod. So
I like it. I think it might already be me.
There you go.
So here's my last question. When you get the big like Marvel movie and you are like the superhero, will you come back on the show and will you sign autographs for my children?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'll come to your house and I'll use your children as the kettlebells.
A quick update. So Jeff's only been living with this new superhero lifestyle for like a week now. But so far, he reports, the results have been pretty encouraging.
Great news. I can now shoot laser beams out of my eyeballs. I jest, of course. I haven't got any superpowers. Fortunately, though, the various exercises you showed me and taught me through has had an effect. I've definitely lost a little bit more fat. I've definitely toned up a little bit. I've definitely grown at least half an inch on the biceps measurement. So that's pretty good in a week. I guarantee that by pilot season in January, I will be ripped and shredded AF. Appreciate you, dude. Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Jeff Leach for letting us into his fortress of solitude. And to Don Saladino for helping all of us tap into our inner superhero. Don actually has a workout app that you can find at his website, donsaladino.com. Do you have a problem that needs solving? Send us a note at howto@slate.com and we might be able to help. Also, if you like what you heard today, please give us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. More people will find the show that way, which means that we can help other superheroes in waiting. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Merritt Jacob is our engineer. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown. June Thomas is the senior managing producer of Slate Podcasts, and Gabriel Roth is Slate's editorial director for audio. Special thanks to Michael Conrader and Asha Saluja. I'm Charles Duhigg. I definitely do not look like a superhero, but thanks for listening.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.
Hello, listener. Dahlia Lithwick here, host of Amicus, that's Slate's podcast on the courts and the law and democracy and the rule of law. This May, our team will be publishing a special project that we are calling How Originalism Ate the Law. This neutral and academic-sounding methodology of looking at the law is, in fact, anything but neutral. Originalism is to the conservative legal movement what peanut butter is to jelly. As we're going to show you over the course of this project, originalism has been both cover and calling for conservative justices and judges to radically overhaul the lives of millions of Americans. And while they claim to be the apolitical interpreters of the Constitution and its author's intents, they have overturned Roe, radically expanded gun rights, and eviscerated voting rights. Across Slate.com and the Amicus podcast, we're going to be tackling questions like, where did originalism come from? Why has it taken over? Are progressive originalists really a thing? And am I allowed to have an opinion on originalism? Spoiler, the answer to that last question, you are. To celebrate the launch of this big project, we are running a special two-week-long free trial of Slate Plus on Apple Podcasts. As a member, you'll get exclusive episodes from How Originalism Ate the Law, plus ad-free listening to all of your favorite Slate podcasts. Join now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen.